You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, my name is Vaughn Armstrong. I've played more characters in the Star Trek universe than anybody, and I was Admiral Forrest. You are listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
Charlene, it is so good to be podcasting with you this week. Before we go into our topic, I have some selfish things to talk about.
Oh, divulge.
Well, okay, so you know how we have talked to the listeners a lot about... the Strange New Worlds contest, and about how you and I talked about it, and I submitted, and then I started a section on the nerdparty.com where people could submit their rejected stories. Well, the people at Literary Treks, which is another Trek FM podcast, which you guys should check out if you haven't yet, they were celebrating their 150th episode, and so they decided to have me on, interview me, and talk to me about my short story, and then actually read my short story on the air and do it in audiobook form. But, you know, like, I wanted to just kind of punch it up just a little bit, so I made it sound like an audiobook where I added music and background noise and sound effects and everything like that. And I also had my wife, aka the girl on Nerd Nuptial, read the protagonist's lines, and so it sounded like a multicast recording. And it was a lot of fun, and I'm really proud of it, and I would love for our listeners to check it out. It's Literary Treks, 150th episode, and it is called A Coming to Janeway Moment, which...
Wonderful title, right off the bat.
I think you'll really enjoy, you know, like, once you listen to it, yeah.
That is awesome. I have a little confession to make. It's in my queue, in my podcatcher, but I've not listened to it yet. I think it's the next thing I have down, but I've been a little slow on podcasts this week, and I'm so excited to hear it, and I'm so sorry.
Char, you know, you give me this excuse a lot, where I'll come to you and I'll say, hey, Char, I have a great episode that's really special. I mention you, or like I'll say something to that effect. And then you'll say, like, oh, it's really far down in my queue. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that being friends and co-hosts for over 4 years gave me no special privileges in the queue of Charlene's podcast.
No, it's been at the top of my queue since Sunday, but I've been really slow to listen to podcasts because I've had some things going on in my life that have prevented me from doing my usual work routine and listening to podcast routine. So I apologize for having a life. I mean, it sucks and I hate it, but I promise I'll get there. And I feel really bad now because you are promoting it and it sounds incredibly exciting. And I can't even vouch to say, oh yeah, that's totally awesome, even though I already know that it is.
You should have just lied to the audience and gone like, oh yeah, I totally loved it with that time when you did that thing. Priceless.
You were brilliant.
Well, if you guys are like Char and have not listened to it yet,
and are total slackers, let's read between the lines here.
Literary Treks, episode 150.
Yeah, do it, and I will too. I promise you. But when we come back to this next week, I will have a full detailed report and sing your praises. I promise.
Well, now that I'm done flogging you, we should probably get into our topic.
Let's do that.
Our topic this week, you know what? This was a listener-submitted topic, so I'd actually like you to describe it.
Okay. Well, what we're doing this week is it's a list. It is our top five list of episodes that outshone their potential. And this was something submitted to us by a listener, and his name is Daniel Malcolm. And I thought, you know, that's a really interesting idea for a top five list, because we've done so many freaking top five lists. Like, if you go to our list that I've made off of the TTJ page, you click the link and there it is. If you look at the section on lists, it's a huge block of episodes. So it is getting harder to come up with really interesting ways to come up with top five lists. The fact that Daniel actually submitted something that made me intrigued and said, yes, let's absolutely do this, is a big testament to the power of our listener base. They're smart. They know us well. And I'm very excited to talk about this topic because I came up with a lot of options. I don't know about you.
I kind of stuck to the standard five with a few honorable mentions. And with this one, just so you guys know my thought process, how I took this, because this can be perceived as a very broad topic or a very much in the eye of the beholder kind of deal.
Very and true, yes.
How I looked at it, I looked at what the episode sounded like on paper, you know, just like mm-hmm. reading it, never seeing it before, and like trying to imagine that you've never seen it before, and you just read how it's described on paper, and you're like, well, that sounds stupid, but then when you watch it, it's actually really cool. So
yes.
That's kind of where I tackled it, and so when I go down my list, that's kind of the situation that we're in.
You know what? That's interesting. I came in with a very similar approach, where if I'm reading the summary on Memory Alpha, and it's just kind of, okay, yeah, that's probably all right, whatever. But then you watch the episode, and it's way better than the description. That was mm-hmm. kind of my criteria. So we're very much on the same page here.
Very cool, very cool. Well, you know, like we have so many episodes to choose from.
172.
And this is episode 171 of TTJ. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. Wow. Hey, look at that. We're hitting this really interesting milestone. Almost.
Yeah. This is weird. We'll have to mention that again next week about how...
Watch, we won't remember.
I know, right? We probably
That's
will
That's why
forget.
We're going to say it now and get it over with, and then our listeners will remind us next week on Twitter, hey, you guys didn't mention that. Yeah,
we know. All right, well, let's just go ahead and get going. I am aching. I'm begging. I am practically shivering to find out what is at the top of your list.
Well, I'm not doing mine in any particular order, so I hate to really cut down on your suspense, but... this is going to be really anticlimactic, I think. I want to start us off with worst case scenario.
Okay, all right. So that's a solid episode. That's a great episode. What yes. made you pick it for this list?
Because if you just think about what the episode is about, it's kind of a what if with the Maquis, and it's basically a holodeck program gone wrong. You think, that's a Trek cliche. When have we never heard of this before? Oh, great. Oh, and we're going to bring back the Maquis all of a sudden. And remember? Great. This is going to be fantastic. Well, actually, it is. It's a really good, really well-executed episode that's a lot of fun to watch. But I thought on paper, it's just kind of, if you're just going by that.
That's funny that you say that, because I can't relate to that at all, because when I hear this on paper, I am super excited, because you know that I love holodeck malfunction episodes. Like, I unabashedly
that's
love
true,
them.
You do.
And so it's my own personal thing. I'm not saying you're wrong, obviously, because it's all about personal opinion. But with me, it was so very much like, you're telling me that Tuvok created a holodeck program about a what-if scenario of if the Maquis revolted and then people get to play it and then things go horribly wrong, sign me up. You know, like that's where I am.
Okay, so yeah, this is very much in the eye of the beholder. That excites you, and I'm thinking, oh, great, holodeck malfunction. Snore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it, though. I completely understand, because there's so many people out there who are like, oh, my God, transporter malfunction, holographic malfunction.
Right,
Lordy
yet
Lord.
Again. Yeah. How are they going to do it this time? And actually, it is a fantastic take on a holodeck malfunction episode, and nobody should ever miss it when they're rewatching Voyager.
Yeah.
So, there's my first pick. What is your first pick? I gotta know.
I'm doing this in temporal order, so I'm doing this from earliest to latest.
Okay.
And some people will probably, you might be one of them, really disagree with me that this is a good episode, regardless of whether it's on paper or not.
Okay.
I really like this episode, and I really like, there's so much about it that I really like, and that's episode 202, Initiations.
Oh, okay, with Nog the Kazon.
With Nog the Kazon, yeah. Okay, so this is the episode where... on paper, it's described as, you know, like Chakotay is shot down by a child Kazon, and they're stranded on a planet and they have to survive together. You know, I think so many people dislike the Kazon, and so many, like, and when you put in child into the mix, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, like, I can't stand the Kazon, and like, oh, we're going to have children in there.
recipe for disaster.
Like, yeah, and also a lot of people don't like Chakotay, and so it just feels like early Voyager. It sounds like it's going to be like a casserole of negativity, and you know, like, obviously, I didn't feel that way because I love all those things. I like the Kazon. I love the guy who plays Nog, and I love Chakotay episodes. Let me rephrase that. I love Chakotay. I don't necessarily like Chakotay episodes, but we get so few good Chakotay episodes that this one is good, and so I grab onto it, I hold onto it, and so, you know, like, it sounds like it could be nonsense, but I love the performances, I love the storyline, I love the structure. I thought it was very very well structured with, like, he's out and about in space, he gets captured, they escape, they crash, they survive, conclusion. You know, it's just, it felt very methodical to me, and
yeah, I
thoroughly enjoyed it.
You know, I think what's really interesting about this episode, and I'm so glad you put it on your list, by the way, is that whether you like the Kazon or not, this provided some very necessary backstory, gave us some really valuable insight into how their culture works. So it's a very important episode and very overlooked, if you ask me. And I say that as somebody who didn't even put it on her list. So I'm a testament, I think, to that. And yeah, I think it does have some strikes against it as to why people would immediately just think against this one.
Yeah.
But I know I have to agree with you that this one does shine. It's just very often forgotten. Has a lot going for it.
I think so, too. All right. What is your next one?
Okay. This is one that we've talked about a lot. So let's make it quick. And that is Shattered.
Yeah.
The clip show that is way better than a clip show. I mean, on paper, if you hear or see the word clip show, you immediately turn the page. Yes? No, this is a great take on it. It is way better than any clip show ever. And if you don't know why, well, go watch it right now. Just turn this off, pause it, come back to us later, watch Shattered now.
Yeah, that's you know, that's one of my favorite episodes of all time. And
yeah,
like
me
you
too.
Said, you know, we've talked about it so much.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the brightest spots of season 7, if you ask me.
Like, when I think about season 7, Shattered is what comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and B'Elanna's pregnancy immediately come to mind for me. Those are the things of season 7 that I really care about.
Yeah, solid stuff. It's I think if somebody said to you, it's like a clip show, but it's not really a clip show, people would just start to go dead eyes.
Right. They're glossing over and absolutely not. But no, this is the antithesis of a clip show. All right. What is your next one?
My next one is episode 203, Projections.
Mm.
This is how it's described on Memory Alpha. The Doctor is informed that he is actually Lewis Zimmerman, the creator of the EMH. He is trapped on a holographic Voyager on Jupiter Station, and this whole Voyager experience was on a holodeck. See, that just sounds super convoluted. You know, it sounds...
Yes, it is.
Once you do actually wrestle the idea in your head, you just kind of think like, oh, is this going to be another, oh, it was all a dream scenario, you know, that's played so many times in TV and film. And I think a couple of times in Star Trek even. And it's just like, oh, baby, you're just like, okay, this is going to be boring or it's just not going to make any sense. But they were able to tie something together by bringing in Barclay, which I never thought I'd be so happy to see Barclay, and putting in the doubt in the Doctor's brain of, is this really happening? What is going on? Like, I know this isn't real, but what if I'm wrong about it being real? You know, like, everything about that is just like, this was a great Doc episode. This was a great Barclay episode, even though it really wasn't Barclay. And it made us question things. Even though we all knew that it was fake, just for a split second, we were asked the question, what if? And I think that's cool.
Absolutely. It makes you question everything. And it's one of those deals where you have no idea what is really real and what's not. And is reality just a construction of thought and behavior? Makes you just go into overdrive thinking about what exactly reality is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, total mind blower, great episode.
Good times. All right, what is your next one?
Mine is also in season 2, and that is Life Signs. This is the one where the doctor helps a phage-ridden woman who is a Vidian. I think that's all Memory Alpha says about it, is that. Really? He's going to help somebody. Well, he is a doctor. Great. He's doing his job. Fantastic. Good, good,
yeah.
Good writing.
Yeah.
But no, there's so much more to it than that. The doctor goes on his first date. He goes parking. It develops a real deep friendship and relationship with this woman. And of course, she does come back for resolutions. Right. And so there's a little bit of continuity there. And it's just a very sweet episode. It's a fantastic character building episode for the doc, especially this early on.
Yeah, I think the Star Trek element really helps this notion along, because if you took away the Star Trek element, it was just described as, like an inexperienced doctor falls in love with his patient, you'd be like, well, who cares? You know, like what?
Right.
What does that matter? You know, we don't care, you know, like, but once you add the Star Trek element into it, you bring in the phage, which we've seen before. You bring in a great guest character who does a great job of acting.
Absolutely.
And it progresses the character of the doc forward in a very good and positive way, something that will ripple throughout the rest of the show. And so, yeah, I think if you just take the premise, it's boring, but add in the Star Trek, it's fantastic.
Totally. So there we go. What's your next one?
This one, first, once I say it out loud, I guess my first three are from season two. I wonder what that means.
Yeah, what in the world? Are you just doing season two or outshining potential episodes?
I think it's because early on, and this goes for all of Star Trek, early on, I think the concepts are a little stranger. In TNG and Deep Space Nine and Voyager and Enterprise, they all get kind of weird because they're trying to find their feet. You know, they're trying to find their groove. And so you see a lot of weirdness thrown at us, and they're trying to see what sticks.
You're right. Absolutely.
And I think season two is a victim of that, where you have a lot of great episodes in season two and some not so great episodes in season two. And you start to see a little bit more and more greater episodes as we go along, because they figure out who they are and what they're doing and who the characters are. But at the same time, there's a double-edged sword where the writers are getting more comfortable, so they're not being as daring with their plot lines. Maybe in some episodes they're focusing too much on plot and not enough on character, or too much on character and not enough on plot, you know. And so, but with early seasons like one and two and three, you have a mix of both, because they're trying to figure out what works. And that would probably be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they're just trying to figure out who these characters are still early on. And so, yeah, they are definitely trying a lot of things and different things. And, you know, that's kind of the charm of the earlier days.
Yeah. So season two, episode 24, Tuvix.
Tuvix. I was wondering if this was going to get on this podcast or not.
Because we all think, like, whether you hate this or love this episode, depending on the ending, you know, let me rephrase that. Whether you hate the ending or love the ending, I think it's all kind of agreed that this is a great episode. You know, like it's a great supporting cast member. I should say great guest cast member. We got a great solid sci-fi story, something that can only be told through a sci-fi lens. It's a great Star Trek story. The situation that the captain has to go through, the decision that she has to make, this is why they're out there. This is why she's in the chair, to make those big decisions. So this is great. But at the same time, if you write this down and go, like Tuvok and Neelix are, combined in a transport accident to become one person, you know, like, when you think about it, you're just like, oh my God. You're like, you think like whackety smackety doo, you know, like it's like, it's one of those, it's like a weird sitcom kind of scenario, because it's Tuvok and because it's Neelix.
Yes. And true.
Where when they're together, they're always kind of like the comedic relief, or, you know, like, it's like, you know, Neelix is always bugging Tuvok. So like, let's put the odd couple, like, it's what if the odd couple merged into one person? What would that be like?
It is.
And so it kind of gives you a big eye roll, but they pulled it off beautifully. And there were no wacky moments. There was no slapstick. You know, all the humor was very subtle. It was very down to earth, and it was just a great amalgamation.
Yeah, it had every chance in the world to be really lame, which I think it does look that way on paper. Transporter malfunction, and then Tuvok and Neelix merged together. Oh boy. But no, it is probably one of the biggest and best episodes of season two, certainly among the most talked about, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, whether you like the ending or if you don't forget this one after you've seen it. So
yeah,
it's got a lot going for it, and that I don't think that's in a bad way at all. I mean, any good Trek is going to make you think, you know, and if you're questioning the morality of Janeway's decision, it doesn't really matter what conclusion you come to. The point is, you thought about it. Mission accomplished. It did its job.
Absolutely. And it's been 20 years, and we're still, people are still arguing about this episode.
Uh-huh. Every day on message boards, on Facebook, you name it, it's still going. And I don't know if it will ever die.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think it will. I think our grandkids are going to be going, I can't believe Janeway did that.
God, I hope not.
Yeah, me too.
But you're probably right. They might be. But you know what? There is a bright spot on that. They'll be watching Voyager.
That's true.
There you go. True. There's always a positive. So there is that. Well, hey, speaking of death, my next pick is also from season two, and that is Death Wish. This is another one where I think maybe it had some potential to go wrong because Q episodes tend to be for comic relief. They can be fantastically funny, and this time they decided to go serious. And again, sometimes this is fantastic, a la Tapestry and All Good Things. Other times, not so much. We weren't sure what we were going to get. It was a very hyped episode, but they did it so freaking well. And I also want to give a shout out to Greg Molby, who is one of our listeners, who brought up this episode and said, hey, would you guys talk about this sometime? Well, we're going to talk about Death Wish right now.
Yeah, it's this is one of those things where, like, for me, this is another one of those situations where, like, on paper, this sounds great to me because I love Q, and mention Q in a trial in one sentence, I'm there. You know, I'm just like, oh, sweet. You know, it's going to be like Encounter Farpoint or like All Good Things. And but like for all the reasons you said, I can understand why some people would be a little wary of it. We're like, oh, we're getting another Q. I don't really like Q. You know,
another like trial. Like, did we not just do this and do it fantastically? And you're going to go there again? I mean, sometimes courtroom drama is not the funnest and most exciting thing on TV either. But I felt like they did a really nice job. I mean, we got to see the continuum through at least a lens, which was a fantastic depiction, if you ask me. A road in the desert, and they've all been the Scarecrow.
Yes. So many great moments. So many great moments from that episode.
Yeah, it was a fantastic mix of incredibly heavy drama. I mean, they're talking about the right to die here. That's a very, very loaded topic, but it's sprinkled in with so much humor in between. It's so solid. And definitely, I think, the best Q episode of those that aired on Voyager.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm trying to think, because we only had three, right?
Right. This one, Q in the Gray, and Q2.
Even though I think Q in the Gray is so much fun. And
it is.
I like it. I like it a lot. I think this one is much more of a solid episode. I mean, this has the moral conundrum. This has the courtroom arguments that they pull off very well. And this is for the first time in Voyager. Because, you know, like TNG was kind of known for that, you know, like with Drumhead and the like and Measure of a Man.
Right.
And yeah, I think you're right. I think this is the best Q episode. So I think hopefully this allayed any fears that people had when they tuned in and saw that Q was going to come on board.
All right. So you're up.
All right. Well, my next one is episode 23 from season 3, Distant Origin.
This is one of my honorable mentions.
So this is how it's described on Memory Alpha. An alien scientist finds evidence linking his species' ancestry to Earth, but government officials refuse to accept his evidence because it conflicts with existing doctrine. From there, that sounds cool. But it was described in a different way, like a much more literal way, where they're like, oh, some dinosaurs survived on Earth and became an advanced civilization and made their way to the Delta Quadrant and then captured Chakotay because of their religion.
Yeah. Dinosaurs? Okay, that's where you're going to lose me right there.
Yeah, exactly. From the word go. You know, you're just like, whoa, no. You're like, no, thank you. Like, this is a la TOS wearing a toga. You know, no.
Yeah, they might as well be Gorn, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I know for some people, that is where it starts and ends for them, as far as this episode goes, which I think is unfortunate, because there's some fantastic storytelling in this episode.
Fantastic storytelling, and it asks that question that I think Star Trek asks all the time, is that we as a culture, or any culture, where does religion begin and where does science end, and vice versa? And these are great questions to ask, and I'm just, they called it, they did it in a very Star Trek way, where they called it doctrine, you know, like it's not religion,
yes.
You know, it's doctrine. And it's just, this is something that is always relevant. And some people
totally.
Like it when this is discussed in Star Trek, other people don't. I like it when it's discussed sparingly and from an alien perspective.
Yes.
And so this is another reason why I latch onto this episode, because we get some great performances and it does not end happy. Like, it doesn't end the way we want it to end. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. And that's another thing that does not happen very often. It's very rare when we get the unhappy ending, but it has, I feel like it's fitting for this episode because of just so many parallels to what has happened in our own Earth history. Think about the story of Galileo. This is a direct parallel to that story. I mean, he was persecuted for basically going against the wide-held beliefs of his people and was forced to denounce his scientific findings, saying they were wrong. And of course, we now know he was right.
Yeah.
But that is the power of popular opinion. And how dare you contradict the power that be.
I like that. I like that. The power of popular opinion. I think that's what we should name the episode.
I feel like in a way that's kind of a moniker for what's happening in our society, at least in some respect.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's why things like this, themes like this are always relevant, because this is never going to go away.
Yeah. In some fashion or another, I guess this has always existed. It's just we're finding different ways to make the same parallel, if that makes any sense.
Well, it's like that episode of South Park where they go to the future and all religion has been banned.
Oh, right.
They've evolved a past religion, and, you know, and so they thought, like, oh, you know, like, religion was the start of so many wars, I'm sure everybody's more peaceful. And like, no, there's still crazy amount of wars, there's still genocide, because
right.
all they do is argue about the different types of science.
Right.
And which one's better. And it's just, that's who we are as people.
Yeah. And they say, oh, science.
Yeah. Oh, my science.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a great episode. I love South Park
so much.
If you ever want perspective on what's happening in the world, go watch South Park.
Great satire.
All right. So it's back to me, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm going to go with another one that I've talked about a lot, but I do think that this one on paper sounds kind of awful, and they executed it far better than meets the eye, and that is Eye of the Needle.
Mm.
Because when you look at it on paper, it's a will they or won't they get home story, and it's episode 6 of season 1. You know that they're not going to get home.
Uh-huh.
However, it's not so much how it ends, it's how they get there and all the twists and turns they have in the meantime.
It's not the destination that matters, Char.
That's right. It's the journey. That is right. I mean, we do a whole show about this thing. So the fact that there's also Alpha Quadrant ties makes this incredibly interesting. And you see a lot of what Janeway is made of, using a fantastic appeal to finally get through to this Romulan commander and have him work with her. Fantastic, fantastic episode. It as long as you can get past the premise of this being a will they or won't they get home show. And I have said, and I always will say, this should have been the season 1 finale. That would have probably elevated my ranking of it even higher as a powerful episode. And it would have been a much better finale for season one than Learning Curve, but we all know they messed that up because they were going to do the 37s, and then they actually decided to hold it back. And that also was a mistake.
Yes, it was. Yeah, that's a solid point. I think that would have made a great season finale.
I think so, because they're still that kind of has that feel of, okay, we're still stuck out here, onward we march. And then you march right on to next season.
Well, as we're rounding up for my last pick.
Do it.
I have chose an episode that probably was not surprise you. Season 6, Episode 3, Barge of the Dead.
Well, please talk about Barge of the Dead, but then I have another comment to make. Because I am a little surprised that this is your last pick. But go ahead.
Okay, so here's my reasoning behind it, is that we all know that I love this episode. We all know that I think this is one of the best episodes in Star Trek, and I'm a huge B'Elanna fan, and this was written by Brian Fuller, who is the new showrunner for the new Star Trek show.
That's right.
And the thing is, this is how you can describe this episode. B'Elanna dies and then finds herself in Klingon Hell.
Yeah, you know, you make a good point. That doesn't sound that great.
No, it really doesn't. Like, this sounds like this would make a Star Trek Voyager comic, where, like, this is such a crazy idea that you would need to put it into comic book form so it could be easily digested as well as forgotten. But when they did this, when they actually executed this episode, it was so great. I mean, the relationship between B'Elanna and her mother, the relationship between B'Elanna and Janeway and B'Elanna and Tom, and just the struggle that she has to go through in order to rectify the split between her, and not just the split between the two worlds, but how it affects her relationship with other people and how it's going to affect her relationships in the future. This was a stellar episode that was well-crafted, well-executed, and well-written. But it all started from a very crazy premise of, you know, what if B'Elanna died and went to Klingon Hell, right? You know, like, wouldn't that be cool?
Dude, wow, you got something there. Hey,
exactly. So that's why I think that is in my opinion and on my list, I think this is the perfect episode for this show.
All right, yeah, you convinced me, because initially I never even thought about Barge of the Dead because I really like this episode and I think it is a fantastic episode. But yeah, if you strip it down and it's the B'Elanna Goes to Hell episode, and you're right, with that premise alone, that should be a comic. I totally agree. Can you imagine the artwork for that thing? Holy whoa. Be amazing. Yeah. But yeah. It's also very fitting for this list because it was a fantastic episode overall. Very good.
All right, so that's it for us. But do you have any honorable mentions?
Well, I'm shocked about one episode that didn't make your list, because you talk about this episode all the time, and therefore this is going to be my honorable mention. I'm going to steal it, and that is Twisted.
Oh yeah, I wrestled with this one because I don't know. I think this sounds like a good premise to me. Like, you know, like Voyager hits a subspace dispersion field or whatever, and then all the ship gets all reorganized and rejumbled and everybody's lost. You know, like, I don't know. That sounds interesting to me.
You know, I don't think it sounds that great on paper at all. And especially if somebody is going to tell me that it's a bottle show, I'm thinking, ooh, okay. Yeah. That one's probably not going to be so great, but no, for the same reasons that you love it, I love it. It's, I think, a fun episode. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea. And we've talked about it so many times that we probably shouldn't do it again, but I think it's a great episode, and I don't care if it's a bottle show. They still had fun with it. It was still good.
Well, my honorable mention is probably going to be no surprise to you guys, and there's a reason why I didn't make it on the list, is because I think, you know, like, I'm going to say, hey, if you say this, you know, out loud or on paper, it sounds like a crap episode. And then I'm going to say the episode name, and people are going to be screaming at their iPhones or radios, their computers, saying, that's because it is a crappy episode, Tristan.
Well, go ahead. Let them have it.
Yeah, this is the episode where on paper it says, the crew enjoy some nice holodeck time at a quiet Irish village.
Knew this was coming.
And so on paper, you're just like, what? that sounds stupid. You know, like what, to avoid a subspace storm or to avoid a space storm or something like that. That's silly. Well, it turns out it was awesome, adorable, and romantic. And I don't care what anybody says.
Well, Janeway finally does get a little action. I will say that much.
Well, there you go.
So there is that, and it's exciting. Yes. And we, yeah, I don't know. It is kind of fun at first to see the village. I mean, it's a new holodeck romp, which yeah, can be exciting. But you know how I feel about this one, and I'm not going to scream at you, but instead of saying, I don't know, I can't say much else nice, so I won't say anything at all.
I think what you should say is what else is happening on the network.
Mm. Well, let's do that, because episodes that have outshone their potential are not the only thing that are being spoken about on Trek FM, and so here's a glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
You don't create a better future, and then it's just there, and it's just stagnant, and nothing ever threatens it, right? That's not reality.
Yeah, you'd end up with Star Trek The Next Generation if you did that, right? No.
Right, well, exactly. And I think that's why a lot of people who love The Next Generation don't like Deep Space Nine, because Deep Space Nine challenges that premise.
To the journey!
You say, this is what you're going to do. You're not going to film Star Trek Nemesis, that piece of crap TNG movie. You're not going to do it. You're going to make Voyager. The movie that you film is going to be a 2.5-hour extravaganza that really shows the struggle with the Borg instead of making it look like you beat the Borg in 1 second, you know?
Melodic Treks.
This may be the only time we get to do something, and we have to make sure it's as good as it gets, that we try and put on all the great moments.
Continuing Mission.
I would do a new issue, and I would print them out and then staple them together, and it would have weight, and it would land on the table with a thump. And I was like, wow, all of that, I did this.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Let's check out all of our shows. They are all possible thanks to those of us who help us out on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm. And if you're not a monthly subscriber yet, please consider doing so. This is how the network keeps going. It is that important. So, on TTJ, we want to thank our associate producers, and those awesome people are Bruce Lish, Jamie Deuce, Kenneth Tripp, Dante Hopkins, and we have a new person! So, we would like to add to our list of associate producers, Brian Bliso. I hope I'm saying your name properly. If not, please shout at me, and I will fix it. So, thanks guys for your support and for helping out Trek FM at large. Well, we've done this one. What are we doing next week?
Next week, we're doing something that we haven't done for a little bit, but I always find enjoyable, and I think the listeners do as well, and that is an episode commentary where we play the episode and then talk over it like a bunch of annoying people in a movie theater. But we're not going to let you know what the episode is, so you're going to have to tune in next week to find out. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!